Hello, Blind Cool Tech. This is Matthew Bullis, back again with another unusual instrument. This is the Korg K-Oscillator Dynamic Phrase Synthesizer. Now, it's not a keyboard, it's a touchpad, kind of like a laptop mousepad that you run your finger across. Usually when I present reviews here, I'm able to go through every feature on the device that's accessible, or I try to cover the most that I can. That'll be the case today with this review, but this has so much in it, and some of it is hard to understand, so I'm going to do the best I can with it, and you can download the manual and see if you can figure out anything more on it. And then if you figure out something that I haven't covered or didn't do correctly, then email me. I'll give you the email at the end of the recording. Well, this is made by Korg, who have been known for years for their tuners and their other synthesizers and keyboards and things. This came out, I think, about the middle of 2008, and there are other touchpad machines, but they focus on inputting things. This does not accept inputs. In other words, you can't plug a guitar into it and change the effect that that gives. This is just a self-contained synthesizer. And it is about 5 inches from top to bottom, 4 inches across from left to right, and only about an inch thick. You orient this correctly by finding the volume control, the headphone jack, and another button on the front. And it has screws in it, which kind of feel like buttons, but they're just inset screws. It doesn't have very many buttons on it, and the display is real small, only enough for a couple of numbers. The display is only about an inch wide. The touchpad is wider across than it is from top to bottom, and just to give you a reference, you can fit all 5 of your fingers across the display from side to side, but only about 4 fingers up and down. Of course, everybody's hands are different, but that just gives it a little measure. Maybe about 2.5 inches across and 2 inches from top to bottom. It has beveled edges around the sides, which are just the framework. Also on the top of the unit, above the touchpad, is a dial. And it just spins forever in each direction. It's raised above the machine, so it's not inset. And to the left of that is the small display. To the right of the knob is a triangle of buttons. That's all that's on the top of the unit. On your left is just the on-off button. Around the back is the adapter socket, and then you have RCA outputs. On the right side, there's nothing except for a half-circle shaped area, which is not a button, but it's where you can reach on the underside of the unit and take the battery cover off. The battery cover just slides off, and it does so rather easily. And that's all that's on the bottom of the unit. The K-Oscillator takes 4 AA batteries, and they said that it would be about 5 hours worth of battery life. And to me, that kind of sounds like it eats up the batteries for 4 AA's for only 5 hours. So I invested in the adapter. So I have the K-Oscillator plugged in to save the batteries. The K-Oscillator, I'll spell it, is K-A-O-S-S-I-L-A-T-O-R. I like the fact that whenever you turn this K-Oscillator off and then turn it back on again, everything defaults. So if you've got things in the menus where you don't know where you are or what key you're in or what scale you're in, just turn it off and turn it back on again. The headphone jack in the front is the only one controlled by the volume knob that's next to it. That's what I'm using now in case some of these sounds get loud. The RCA jacks in the back are not controlled by the volume control, so you're going to have to plug this into something that you can have easy access to the volume control, because some of these sounds get really loud. At this point, I'll turn on the K-Oscillator, and it just takes a half a second to turn on. And now it's on. I'll just run my finger across the touchpad. This is where you start whenever you turn the K-Oscillator on. I'll touch the bottom left corner. Now this is stereo output. That's why I've given this in stereo, and you should wear headphones on to get the full effect. If you hold your finger down on the pad, this is the bottom left-hand corner, you get this, and you retain that sound, and that's what you get until you lift your hand off the K-Oscillator pad. Let me turn off the microphone so that you can hear the pure sound of the K-Oscillator by itself. There's a K-Oscillator by itself, and I've brought the microphone so that I can tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm going to hold my hand down on the touchpad on the left-hand corner, and I'm going to slide it in along the bottom to the right. octaves worth of sound. And that's just quickly moving across the touchpad. So from left to right controls the pitch of the notes. And from bottom to top controls the depth, quality, or the clarity of the sound. It's different for every sound that's on here. So just to give you a reference, I've got my hand at the bottom left-hand corner, and I'm going to slide it up. And slide it back down. And lift it off. So it controls the loud, in this case, like a vibrato. In fact, at this point, I turn the castellator down with the volume knob so we wouldn't be overpowered, so you could still hear what I'm saying. And so I'm up at the top now, at the top left corner. And if you want to just slide your hand around, you just get... I'm just moving up from bottom to top. That's just the first sound that you start with. Now what I'll do is I'll twirl through some of the sounds that are on here. The sounds go from 0 to 99. That's how they have them numbered. And you always start on sound 0. I'll turn the knob once. That's the bottom left-hand corner. That's from left to right. I move up. I'm in the middle on the left. And then all the way up to the top. I'm just tapping the pad. I'll twirl the next sound. Okay, this is what the bottom to top is controlling. They call this the X and Y axis. I believe that left to right is X. And up and down is Y, if I remember my math correctly, but that's been years ago. So, quickly moving your hand up and down the pad does this. Go to the next sound. Kind of a theremin sound. Each of these sounds has a name, but on the display it shows you the number, not the name, so you've got to use the card that comes with it, a quick reference card, to know what sound you're actually listening to. Castellator is packaged with the castellator, the manual, and a quick reference card. The adapter is separate, and so is the carrying case. Okay, from bottom to top is kind of a distorted sound. And there is a video on YouTube which goes through all 100 sounds. Takes him about 10 minutes to do that. So yeah, just punch in Chaos Later in YouTube and you'll get a bunch of demos and songs and things with it. Okay, this one's interesting. When I hold my hand down on the pad and move it across, it doesn't really do anything. You have to tap this sound. Some of them are like that. This is almost like a four-octave sound here. All right, so from bottom to top, it expands. And these sounds are grouped in segments. There's 10 acoustic sounds and 20, they call them lead sounds. There's some drum patterns on here as well. Another tap sound. This is one of my favorites. So from bottom to top, it's going ya. Here's a trumpet sound. The sound gets brighter as you move from bottom to top. Piano sound. Again, the sound gets brighter. These are some of the acoustic sounds. Another tapping one. Here's bass sound. Now from at the bottom you get... Let me turn the microphone off, it's a little hard to hear. So at the top you can go, you can slide your finger across, but at the bottom you can't, you have to tap it, because they're so short. Okay, I've skipped over a bunch of these sounds, maybe about 10 of them. Now one of these voices sounds. Kind of an electric guitar sound. Now, because the pad is the way it is, it's hard to get exact notes. So you're not going to be able to play an exact solo that you might want. You take a chance whenever you play. You get what you get, and most of the time it's really good. I skipped over some more sounds. Here are some sound effects. In fact, this is a little hard to hear. I'm going to again turn the microphone off. That was just moving from left to right on the bottom. At the bottom, you got the really hard-to-hear sounds. And as you move up to the top, you get things that are louder. Moving over to the right, you get this really shrill sound. So. Skipping over a couple, here's like a Pac-Man sound. At the bottom, it's just regular notes. An octave's worth of regular notes. And as you move up, trembles. Skipping over a couple more, here's a kind of a space sound at the bottom right, moving up. Here's another game sound, skipping over a couple. So your bottom is just this, and as you move up, another sort of Pac-Man sound here. And twisting some more through the knob, we get some drum sounds. And turn the microphone off again. Now you get your drum pads if you turn the knob again. And these are your things you have to tap on the pad. And they get longer as you move up. Drums that you can use yourself. Okay, now you get to your pre-programmed beats. What we'll do is now we'll hit the top button right next to the knob, and it's the top of the triangle. That's the beats per minute button. Hit that once and then turn the knob. I've just spun it a bunch of times. I think it goes up to 320 beats per minute here. Just keep twisting the knob. Now usually your settings go around, they loop around. But some of these, if you twist it far enough to the right or far enough to the left, you get the extreme of the setting. Turn it all the way down here. Now, with these menu settings, if you leave it for 5 seconds without touching it or twisting the knob, it will go back to the regular main menu. In other words, I turn the knob and we're back to our instruments here. Another beat here. Turn the chaos later up a little bit. Let me turn the microphone off so you can get a sense of how this bass comes through here. Now that last beat lasted about 3 seconds after I lifted my hand off the touchpad, so that's kind of neat. Now I'm going to come back to the drum patterns because I haven't shown you the other features of the main instruments. The drum patterns are only the last 10. So there you are back at sound zero. And I don't think I've changed anything, but just to make sure, I'll turn it off and turn it back on again. And we default everything. Any recordings you might have put on here have been erased. So you're back to this sound zero. And if you turn one click to the left, you get into your drum beat. But we're gonna leave it on this sound. In fact, I think that for simplicity's sake, for sounds, I think I'll twirl over to the piano sound, which I'm gonna have to guess at. I think I've gone past it. With 100 sounds, it's easy to get lost. There it is. So a nice simple sound with no overtones, because I'm going to show you these other buttons here. We already looked at the top button, the BPM button, which you turn on and then twist. You can also tap it in time with the song that you're recording, but it gets a little more complicated with that. So your top button is your BPM button. The bottom two buttons of the triangle, just above the touchpad from left to right, is the scale button and the record loop button. Now I'm going to show you the key feature, and that's when you press the beats per minute button, the top one, and the one on the left, so you're diagonal. So you press the scale button along with the BPM button. Just tap them once. And you just twist the knob, and your touchpad goes up by half steps. All I'm doing is hitting the bottom left corner. And you have to do this fast enough to where you don't let 5 seconds go by. Now you're a whole octave up. You're one octave up from where you are. This is a 3-octave range, except for certain sounds which have longer than that. Now, the menu has cleared, and if you turn the knob, you're back to your other sounds. But I want to show you the lower octave. So we hit the BPM and the scale button together, and twirl through these. Now we're back to where you end up, where you default. And if you spin it far enough to the left, you'll get the lowest note. And if you spin it far enough to the right, you get the highest note. Let's put it back to the regular key. Okay, now you're at your middle C. So you've got that 3-octave range, and you always start out in the middle of it. If you only hit the scale button by itself, that's the one on the left on the bottom just above the touchpad. Tap that once. Instead of the normal scale, these all have names, so I'm not sure what they are, but now the screen is cleared, so we have to press the button again. Now you're in that key. If you hit the scale and turn the knob to the left, you're back to your original scale, your C major scale. So now I've talked and the screen is cleared again, so I press the scale button once more. All different scales, 31 different scales they have built into this. Oh, I like that. Okay, it's cleared again. We just press the scale button again. You're on your scale that you were on before. And if you know someone who has music theory knowledge, they can tell you what these scales are. And they'll be able to describe why they are like this, but that's above me. So, screen is cleared again. We hit the scale button. And I'm going to spin through. I'm not going to go through all the scales. What I've done is I've spun it all the way to the right, or at least all the way to the right in its memory. If you keep spinning this, it's just like the other ones. They only go so far to the right. What we've got now here is the last item in the menu. It split the touchpad in three segments, from left to right. That note's in the middle. It's given us octaves. Let me hit the scale and the BPM button, both, and jump up an octave. Okay, the screen is cleared. We'll hit the scale and the BPM button again and dial it down to the lowest octave. We'll hit the same two buttons again. Back to middle C. Now what I'll do is just press the scale button by itself. I'm going to spin it all the way to the left. Just keep dialing like that, and you'll eventually hit the left-hand corner of that menu there. Now we've taken out the individual notes that you can actually hear, and it sounds more like a fretless bass. So it sounds like a piano, but with no actual keys on it. It sounds like you're kind of like slide piano here. In fact, that's a little bit, the sounds kind of decay audibly, so I'll turn off the microphone again and you can hear it pure. The screen has long since cleared, so we're on this setting for the scale. In other words, we've taken out the individual notes. So let's dial back to there's the trumpet sound. Kind of like a slide trumpet, if there is such a thing. I know there's such a thing as a slide trombone. What I'll do at this point is press the scale button by itself. I actually had to move that over two clicks to get to the standard scale. Now I want to show you this button that's on the front, and it's to the left of the earphone jack. It's called the gate arpeggiator. Let me go back to the piano sound here. Now, gate arpeggiator, it's like it actually plays rhythms for you, not like the drum beats, but I'll press this once. And I'm just holding my hand down on the pad here. Now there are 50 of these rhythms, so I'm going to hold the gate arpeggiator button down in the front. Maybe that's why they put this button on the front of the machine, so that you could press it with your left thumb while turning the knob, because you need to hold it down. So I'll hold it down. We're on our first arpeggio. It's a toggle, by the way. I just pressed it once, and we're back to normal. If I hold it down, then twirl the knob. Giving us all sorts of rhythms. I'm just holding my finger down on the pad and twisting the knob once. bypasses the 5-second rule on this because I'm holding the button down. Just got a little variety here. And the reference card also says what these are, so someone can read that to you. Sort of galloping beats here. Arpeggiator button. And if you tap it once you've got your arpeggio or whatever you've selected, and you press it once to turn it off. So there's your options for those. So far we've got 100 sounds, 31 scales, 50 arpeggios, and you've got the ability also to overdub here. Let's see if I can demonstrate that as well as I've been able to understand it from the manual. The manual is a PDF that you download, and I believe it's available from Musician's Friend if you go to the product page for the Korg K oscillator. I would recommend converting it into text. That way it'll be more readable. And just before you get to the other translations of the manual, there is a list of the 100 different sounds from 0 to 99. So that's helpful, so that if you find a sound that you like, you can put a name with it, as long as you know how many turns of the knob, or have someone look at the display real quick. The display, as I said, only holds about 3 letters or 3 numbers. To demonstrate the dubbing feature, or the overlay feature, I'm going to twirl to one of these drum beats. I just move to the left here with the knob. And because we defaulted to the 120 beats a minute. Just to make it a different variety, let me hit the BPM button, and yeah, that's a little slower. I like that a little better. Now, this next part requires some coordination, and I haven't quite gotten the hang of it yet. So you hold down the loop record button, which we haven't touched until now. This is enabling you to record 8 bars. It's just 2 counts of 4, or 4... I'm just going to press the button. Alright, so I'm going to hold down loop record and then tap the drum button. Okay, now I let up on everything. And it's doing this all by itself. And the screen has cleared. So now I can twirl through the sounds. I'm going to go back to the piano one. There we go. So you can play over top of this, or, and let me see if I get this coordination correct, because I can't figure out whether it starts recording once you start holding the button down, or once you actually start doing something with your hand on the pad. So I'll wait till one of these beats comes by. Let's see what happens. Alright, that kind of cut off the note a little bit. Alright, it's cutting off the notes. Maybe I'm letting up too early. But I'm not touching anything right now. Doing this all by itself, and it's sort of overlaying everything. Now it says that you can hold down your record button, the record loop button, and then twirl the knob to different settings, like to fix these beats or to delete certain ones, but it gets kind of complicated when you've got a bunch of things going on. And I don't get too complicated. Let's choose something else here. The trumpet, maybe? And I'll wait till the piano's supposed to start, then I'll start this trumpet thing. Okay, so we're building layer on layer, and it says that you can build multiple layers. I don't know how many you can actually build before it crashes on you. So, I'm going to stop it now. I hit the loop record button. If you hit it again, it'll start where it stopped. Let me just experiment. I'm going to hold down the loop record, and instead of hitting any buttons, I'm going to twirl the knob once and see what it does, and then let up. All right, it stopped. Okay, that appears to... Either that or it fixed it. Let me twirl the knob twice. See what that does. Okay, that appeared to have cleared it there. Because there's fix, clear the phrase, and clear all. And I haven't quite figured all that stuff out. But at any rate, it clears everything when you turn it off. So I think the simplest way, unless you have someone read the screen there and memorize the menus, is to just record what you want, build on it, and then record some more. But then when you turn it off, it clears everything, so you're back to normal with all the defaults. So that's my understanding of the recording feature. Now, if you hit the BPM and the loop record button at the same time, and then twirl the dial... get things like this. I'm turning it to the right. Yeah, that's too much sound. See, I thought that was going to put this over top of the sound, but it did it. A terrible sort of mashup here. Turn it off and default it again. And there's also a way you can make it to have four measures, 16 bars. And that's also found on YouTube, but that just gets kind of complicated for me. I'm happy enough just overdubbing what I like, and then if I make a mistake, then I'll just go back and do the same thing again, though you can delete your last phrase. So that's an overview of the K-Oscillator by Korg. Korg, K-O-R-G. K-Oscillator, K-A-O-S-S-I-L-A-T-O-R. And again, punch it in on YouTube, and there's some great songs and some tutorials. There's a guy who goes through all 100 sounds. He doesn't go through all the arpeggios and scales and things, but he does go through all 100 sounds in about 10 minutes so that you can tell what each sound is. And there's a good 7 or 8 pages worth of videos about the K-Oscillator on YouTube from people like me who get it and say, this is cool, and we want to show you how it works. I'll tell you about the adapter and the case. The adapter is just fine, just a standard adapter. And that costs about $13. And then there is a carrying case for the K-Oscillator. But it's one of these cases that is built for a few other of the devices that Korg makes. So when you put the K-Oscillator in its case, the way that it looks like you're supposed to, the earphone jack and the arpeggiator button don't quite line up. They end up a little below the case. And also, although this has a belt clip, if you were to actually wear this on your belt and then undo the Velcro part and the whole flap of the case points up. So it'd be against you, and the K-Oscillator would be backwards. And if you put the K-Oscillator in the other way, then you can't reach the buttons, like the arpeggiator and things like that, because the holes in the case are designed for things like the volume control. So it's not the best case, and I wouldn't use the K-Oscillator while it's in its case, but I will store the K-Oscillator in the case when I'm not using it, which is fine. And the case was about $15. I bought both the K-Oscillator case and the adapter from Korg, and I think it was $33 or something like that. KorgUSA.com sells the adapter and case. I got the K-Oscillator itself, which normally sells for about $200, for $130 from a store on eBay. It was a store called New Items Only, and I think it was new-items-only, I believe. But punch in Chaoscillator on eBay and see if you find those $130 Chaoscillators. It's a wonderful machine, and even though I don't listen to techno music, it's really fun twisting the knob on this and pressing the buttons and hearing what kind of sound you can create on this. So there's your overview of the Chaoscillator. If you have any questions, I'm not on the Blind Cool Tech email list, so you'll have to email me directly, MatthewBullis@runbox.com. That's MatthewBullis@runbox.com. And I'll be happy to answer your questions. So thanks for listening.